Brother Nathaniel Ennis is no stranger here to Benson Grove Baptist Church. For all our friends on the internet and guests who may be here today, he's a missionary, church planting missionary. He and his family out in Wyoming at Blessed Hope Baptist Church now. They went out about, or he went out as a single man to begin with, or were y'all married when you first went out? And right out of Bible college, went out to a mission church that was in kind of northern Wyoming, and it had just about closed. And God sent him out there to kind of resurrect that work and restart it. It did well. Then God burdened his heart to go to a place called Hillsdale, Wyoming, population 54 before they got there. Now it's 54 and 7, 50, 61, 2 or 3, something like that with their family. They got 7 in their family. But it's a blessing. They, on an average now, run about 40 a Sunday in church in a town of 54 people. And so God's really used him, and he's a blessing to us, and we always love for him to come by. Let's make welcome from Burnsville, Wyoming, Brother Nathaniel Inslee this morning. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Whatever he just said is all true, you know. And anyhow, it's Burns, Wyoming, and is where we started that. We're here in a few weeks. I don't know what this is. This the trap door button? I'm going to keep that. If that's the trap door button, so I'm just going to, if that belongs to you, I'm going to throw it right here. The trees, I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of trees y'all got in here in North Carolina, but ours don't have buttons, you know. But we've been in Wyoming since 2005, and I think that's about 16 years or so, and that's a long time. And I was a lot, well, 16 years younger, you know, and anyway, that was kind of a joke, but that's all right. You can laugh later. But Matthew 14 is where I want you to turn to. Matthew 14, we celebrate at our church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we celebrate our 9th church anniversary here in about 5 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that, and which makes us, Lord allows us to start our 10th year. Praise the Lord for that. And right now, we are averaging about 40 on Sundays post-COVID, if that's a thing, I guess. But I don't know if we're ever going to be post-COVID. And again, I'm not trying to stir the pot. I think we're just going to be in COVID for the rest of our life, you know. And again, I'm not making fun. I'm not poking the bear, you know. I like bears at a distance, you know. Before that, we had 50-plus on Sunday morning. Some people moved away, you know. Same stuff that y'all face, you know, and but God has been faithful. You know, God can't be anything else but faithful, and he's just blessed. I guess, as the saying goes, blessed beyond measure. And I'm not sure who coined that, but man, I'm glad they don't charge a royalty on that phrase. But Matthew 14, you're there. Let me get there, but let me read some verses to you to kind of get us all on the same page. Title of today's message is simple, is when the storms of life come. And when the storms of, not if the storms of life come, but rather when the storms of life come. And they just sang a wonderful song about burdens. And a lot of times burdens are revealed or given, if you will, during storms, during trials, during hardships. Don't raise your hand, but who's ever had a hardship? Who's ever had struggles? Who's ever had storms? Sometimes I think, at least maybe it's just my folk at our church, seem like we're in a season of hardship. Not necessarily we as a church, but just families, seasons of burdens. And I think it's true with a lot of folks right now. And, you know, to a certain extent, a lot of folks don't care about a lot of things, and I'm not being ugly about that. Sometimes people just want to be encouraged, want to be loved. And so my goal today is just to say, keep on going on. Keep on going forward. Keep on doing what you're doing. Here we see in this passage of Scripture, you're there in Matthew 14. Let me read you the parallel passages in John 6. Don't turn there. Stay in Matthew 14. I get there with you. John chapter 6, verse 16 says, And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Verse 19 says, "So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid." And look at verse number 20. It says, "But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." And let me read to you Mark chapter 6 as well. Just a few verses here. Verse 48 says, "And he saw them," verse 47 of Mark 6 says, "When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them." You ever had that? When the wind was contrary? If you haven't, come to Wyoming and you will get contrary wind. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spear and cried out. Now that verse 49 just makes me chuckle. Now these ain't pansy type of, yuppie type of men. These are burly, manly fishermen. And the Bible, the Word of God says they cried like little girls in the boat. Now, come on now, loosen up. That's what it said. It says they thought they seen a spear and cried out. They got scared, and act accordingly. Now, you can just cut me off for the rest of the time now, I guess. But now, Matthew 14, did you find your place yet? I mean, I've been waiting on you this whole time. Matthew 14. Man, take y'all forever to get somewhere. And Matthew 14, verse number 24. Verse number 24, it says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit." Now look at this. "And they cried out for fear." Be careful what you do, because Jesus is going to record it. And anyhow, I think that's funny, but none of you do. But verse 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter," verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Man, what a great time. Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Verse 32 of Matthew says, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and then they were in the ships, came and worshiped, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we ask the Lord to help us here this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that the truths that you've laid in my heart, Father, I pray, Lord, that today would just be a help to us all, be an encouragement, be a challenge. Father, I pray, Lord, that whatever is said and done, to you and to you only would just be give you glory and honor and praise. And Father, we sure we give you all the thanks for all these things. Father, speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We see here in this passage of Scripture about some storms. I read the three passages of Scripture to you because I wanted you to see there are some details represented that you pick up in each passage that not necessarily in every passage. And I want to pull those out. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to finish today. I'm going to finish tonight. So if you like what you hear, come back tonight. If not, if you don't like it, come back anyway. Just kind of be an encouragement, But we see here the storms of life. What can we do? What can we do when the storms of life come? And as I look at this passage, let's just jump right on in. So where are we at in the timeline of all of this? What has taken place? What is going on? Well, just give you a nutshell. The Lord Jesus just fed the feeding of the 5,000 with a little feller's lunch. And then all that took place. And 12 baskets, I believe, was the remaining. And so what a great man. They just saw God do a great, marvelous miracle. And the Lord, as you read through the passages, we see how the Lord separates himself from that multitude, from all of those people. And I tell you, over the course of time in the ministry, I've learned it's good sometimes just to separate yourself and get away and spend time with the Father. And but here we see Jesus is praying in the mountain. And what did the disciples do? Well, they saw an empty boat, and they saw some water, and they went on through the water with fishing. Now, again, we're not making fun. We're not poking at them. We're not saying they're wrong by any means. That's just what happened. So when the storms of life come, when struggles come, when the hardships come, what do you do? What can we do? Well, let's get on Facebook and just tell the whole world about it and blame everybody else, and you know, because it surely is not my fault, you know. And, you get in the phone and, you know, you call everybody. And when all of those avenues are exhausted, do you feel better? Usually not. So literally here, what can we do? What can we do when the storms and the struggles and the hardships come? This past year, my dad had kidney cancer, and he got the kidney removed, and he's doing well. I can see the effects from that. Just this past Thursday, he looked like he's missing a kidney. You know, but praise the Lord, he's still with us. And a couple years back, my mom had breast cancer, and all that stuff is, you know, all that stuff is in the past, but those are storms. What do we do? Can I give you a couple thoughts here this morning of what we can do? Number one, just very, very simple, very simple. Keep the cookies on the bottom shelf, they said. I do that because I really can't reach the top shelf. But number one, when the storms come, what do we do? Number one, remember the storms will come. They will come. Let's not be surprised. They will come. You're not exempt. You and I are not exempt. And y'all know that this past August, my whole family got COVID, and except for Charity, she somehow missed that boat. I don't know how she did that. But anyhow, we were allowed to. I was allowed to have 3 days in the nicest facility in that part of the town. You know, room service and all that stuff. You might call it a hospital, but I'm going to call it just a nice hotel, very expensive hotel. And I say all that to say this: there are some storms that we face, and you've probably got your storms that you face. Remember, storms are going to come. When we're serving the Lord, storms come. When we're walking with the Lord, storms are going to come. Often, and maybe you can identify with this, when we have experienced some of the greatest spiritual highs in our life, right after that, their storms often come. What just took place here, Matthew? The feeding of the 5,000. Do you think the disciples were excited? You think they were, you know, encouraged about doing something for God? Absolutely. And then they get out there on this boat, something that they're very familiar with. You know, this is not outside of their ability. And then this storm comes. So let me put it this way. When we're doing everything we're supposed to do, the storm still comes. The storm will still come. Ain't that encouraging? Ain't that a blessing? Don't it just warm the cockles of your heart? You know, you do everything right and your whole life still fall apart. You know, hallelujah. Well, there we go. You're getting better with that, you know. So number one, realize the storms are going to come. Number two, second thing, we'll move right along here. Number two, we see in this passage of Scripture, and again, I'm not throwing stones at disciples. Number two, no, it's never a good idea to go anywhere without our Lord. It's not a good idea to go anywhere without our Lord. John chapter 6, verse 17 says, "And entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. And the Bible says, and Jesus was not come to them. They left him. Because where was he at? He was in the mountainside praying. Also, Mark chapter 6, verse 47 says, and when even was come, evening, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Where are his disciples? Out there in the water. Where was Jesus? Praying on the mountainside. And again, I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm not saying that they were... I'm just saying, them the grits. They were out there. Jesus was over here. They were separated. Let me be clear here this morning. I'm not throwing them under the bus. I'm not saying it's wrong. Surely I'm not saying it's wrong to go fishing. Hallelujah. You know? But I've learned the closer I try to stay to the Lord, the better I am. My wife, Miss Ginger, we celebrate 19 years of marriage this March, this coming March. She appreciates me striving to stay close to my Savior. My family, Jacob, Tyler, they're teenagers, and 14 and 13, and I might even want to, Charity's younger than that, she's 9, did I get that right? And then Sam and Hannah, they're younger than even that, you know, and they appreciate when I'm striving to stay close to our Lord. You and your family appreciate it when you and your family strive to stay close to our Lord. So, preacher, where are you going with all this? Well, I'm going somewhere, and we'll see if we get there. But I'm not saying here that they were wrong for being here, but I'm just simply saying these disciples were separated. There was a distance. Let me give you a third thing to remember when the storms of life come. When the storms of life come, and to me, this is a powerful truth that helps me. And as the further we get into this message, the deeper I think these things become. Number 3, remember, our Lord sees and knows you and your storm. Let me say that again. Remember, our Lord sees and knows you and your storm. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Let me read it to you. It says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. He saw them, talking about Christ, saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Can I put it just simple form? He saw them struggling in the boat on the water. Can I just take a minute here? Can you indulge me just for a minute? If you said no, I'll probably just go ahead and do it anyway. But where's Christ at? He is on the seaside. He's on the shore. Where are the disciples? They're in there on the shore. They're in the boat, in the water. Christ is watching them. So just bear with me. He's no longer on the mountainside. He's there. And in my mind, this is the way I see it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong later. I see him coming down. Maybe he's building a fire. It's evening time, right? He's building the fire. Maybe he's got his sandals off. Maybe he's there walking in the sand, and he's drinking his black coffee the way he's supposed to drink it. And he's standing there on the shoreside, and he's drinking his coffee, looking at the disciples struggling and toiling. Now, I'm going to point out something here, and you probably already know it, so just indulge me anyway. Can I say something here? He knows our struggles. He sees our struggles. He sees your struggle. He sees our COVID brain here. He sees our hang-ups, our shortcomings. Everything that we don't want no one else to see, he knows them. And as we learned in Sunday school, he still loves us. He still was willing to send the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer and bleed and die on Calvary's cross for us. He knows our struggles. He knows your struggles. He knows my struggles. He knows that we are still rowing. Did you see that? He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind, even though it was hard, even though it was difficult, even though they were having a hard time, they kept rowing. They didn't stop. They didn't quit. They kept on rowing. Preacher, what does that mean? It means we don't stop serving. We keep rowing. If God's called you to it, God's called you to serve Him, God's called, put something in your heart, you keep at it. You keep at it. Continue. Well, the wind's contrary. Yeah, we see that here. And there's a lot of that. I tell you what, in the Christian life, there's a lot of contrary wind. There's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of hardships. We have many opportunities to quit. But don't. Don't. He is worth it all. He is worth us continue to row. He knows our struggles. He knows your struggles. He knows my struggles. During this event, the entire time, as we go through this passage of Scripture, we don't see any time where we see Christ alerted. At no time do we see Christ concerned. We don't see Christ upset. We don't see Christ, man, I sure hope they're going to make it. We don't see any of that. He sees, all we see is Christ there watching them. And to me, if Christ isn't alerted, what a reminder for us to not be alerted as well. Because He has it all under control. No matter what you and I are going through, going against, no matter how bad the storm seems, no matter how hard it may seem, keep rowing. Now, I wasn't going to say this in here, but I tell you, well, we'll leave that for tonight. Number four, this Lord, number four here. When the storms of life come, realize they will come. Realize it's never a good idea to go without Christ anywhere. Remember, our Lord sees and knows you and your storm. Number four, and this is I'm just going to give it to you. Realize our Lord works on His time schedule, not ours. Don't that give you warm and fuzzies? Just take your watch off. Not now. I'll be done soon. You know, do you got anything to do at 1 o'clock? You know, but anyway. Realize our Lord works on His time schedule. Look at Mark 6:48. I'll read it to you. And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Well, just for the sake of make sure we're all on the same page, there are four watches in the night. There's Rolex, there's Timex, and just see if you're listening. The first watch of the night, they say is called the evening watch. The first watch is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's the first watch, called evening time. The first watch is called evening, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch of the night is called the midnight watch. And that goes from 9 p.m. to midnight. That's why they call it the midnight watch. Third watch. The third watch is called the cock crowing watch. And that's from midnight to 3 a.m. And then we come to the fourth watch, which is called the morning watch, and it goes from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. You got all that? Because there's going to be a quiz later. Okay. When did this take place? When did all this start? Well, if you remember back in verse 47, it says, and when even was come, where was Christ? He was on the seaside drinking his black coffee like he's supposed to be drinking it, watching them toil in the water. The wind was contrary, it was hard. Boy, they were just doing everything they're supposed to do, but they wasn't getting anywhere. Does that sound familiar? So it's evening time. So Christ saw them in the evening time. What does this say? 6 p.m. Just for our Eastern, Western, whatever, I think it's Western mindset, and globally, anyhow. But we see here, and when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. But when did Christ go walking towards them? The fourth watch. Remember I said earlier, God is not really concerned about our timeline? Sometimes we think we keep God in our pocket and say this is a little box. We put him, you know, folded up that way and that way. This is one of Pastor Billy's business cards. I'm kidding. This is one of mine. You fold it up there, you know, make it all nice and neat. All right, God, I got you. I'm going to carry you everywhere with me. You know, God's not interested in our box, nor is he interested in our timeline. Could have God done everything God could have done at the seaside? Yes, absolutely. Could have God done it immediately? Yes, absolutely. But God chose to watch them and see what's all going to take place, see what they're going to see. God wanted them to see something. God wanted them to go through a storm. God wanted them to struggle. God wanted them to go through a hardship. God wanted to see them struggle to go through what they're fixing to go through or what they're going through, because they're going to learn some things. They're going to see God do some things where they wouldn't have done before. Sometimes in our life, God is not going to take us out of the storm. Sometimes God in our life is not going to save us from the storm, but rather give us strength and grace to go through the storm. Because it's through the storm, it's through the struggles, it's through the trials where God does great things. Here we see them struggling in the evening, and our Lord waited until the fourth watch. And if you did the math, that's a maximum ballpark of 12 hours struggling on the water, and minimum of 6 hours struggling on the water. He saw them, and he was on the shore at evening time. I don't know if you've ever been. I lived in Georgia for about a year and a half. And we borrowed this preacher's boat. Hopefully he's not watching, because I don't think I ever told him. And this took place. I don't borrow boats anymore. We all about died, you know. And we were just, I think it was just Ginger and I. We didn't have any kids yet. We were assistant pastor in Georgia before we went to Wyoming. And preacher, oh, yes, take my boat. Go have a good time. It was a big old pontoon boat and had this little S10 Blazer. I have no business even pulling it. But anyway, I dropped it in, pulled it back out. Praise the Lord right there, you know. And we go take this boat out. And there's a hurricane that's coming. You know, don't try this at home. I'm just saying. I mean, don't take boats on the water when the hurricane coming in, you know. And young and dumb, we earned that title on purpose, you know. So we go out there. And we go have a good time, and then we turn around and try to go back. And I didn't realize as I was going out the wind was pushing us. I was making good time going out. Man, I make excellent time. Turn around, uh-oh. And the waves are getting bigger. We get wet. When you get wet inside of a boat, that's not a good sign. I'm just saying, that something's going wrong. I mean, we got water waves coming over on top of the boat, on a pontoon boat. That little John boat, I'm talking about a good-sized pontoon boat. So I understand these disciples screaming like little girls. And I'm just glad no one was there recording what took place there. I'm saying sometimes storms are difficult. Storms are scary. Storms can change your life, really. God can change your life through the storms. You know, often in our life, we expect a yellow brick road all the way to heaven. God has not promised a yellow brick road. That makes for a great movie. I think I saw that before in a movie. It's simply not true in life, is it? This Christian life is filled with contrary wind. This Christian life is filled with struggles, filled with hardships, filled with reversals, filled with slap you in the face, knock you in the gut, and slam you again in the ground. That's this life. When it comes, you have a choice to make. What are we going to do with our walk with Christ? Here we see God doing a great work. God does a miracle, and I'm not going to get, we'll finish this out tonight. But can I tell you tonight, can I tell you this morning, if you're in the middle of a storm, if your heart is heavy this morning, if you're just flat struggling, can I tell you something? He sees it. He knows all about it. He can help you. He can give you strength to go through it. He can take you by the hand and lead you, as a song, to the promised land. I mean, He can take you all the way. You don't have to do this by yourself. Matter of fact, you're not designed to do it by yourself. Just as my little blazer was pulling that big old pontoon boat, yeah, I can pull it, but I didn't pull it well. Because that little ST blazer wasn't designed to pull that size of a trailer. Folks, just because you're carrying that burden doesn't mean you're designed to carry that burden. Our Lord knows. Our Lord sees. He has a plan. And He's not worried. He's not concerned. He is allowing you. He's allowing you this morning. He's allowing me to go through that storm. Why? To show how great He is. To teach us some things. Have I ever taken a boat out again during the hurricane? Nope. Never have. Well, I learned. I'm glad to get back on the shore. You know, that's why I went to Wyoming, to get away from all that water. You know, when the storms of life come, they will come. Realize He's there. Can I tell you something? You're not alone. I know how it feels being in a room this size, filled with all these people, feeling alone, feeling by yourself. Can I tell you something? You're not. You're not. These disciples thought they're all by themselves. Man, we're going to die out here. But Jesus was seeing them the whole time. He was there the whole time. And He's for you this whole time. All you got to do is just reach out to Him. And we're going to look more of that here in a little bit. But can I close with a couple questions? Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know Him as your Savior? Has there been a time where you put your faith and trust in Him? I'm not asking, do you know about Him? I'm not asking, do you know about His family? I'm not asking if you've studied Him, or even if you're studying the Word of God, or if you know how to quote Scripture back and forth. I'm talking about, has there been a time in your life where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone? It makes the storms of life a whole lot better. Gives us a whole lot more strength. Gives a whole lot, coming out on the other side, a whole lot better. Have you been born again? You say, preacher, yes. I'm glad I was 12-year-old boy, and I got saved. I'm glad I was called to preach. Can I tell you something? If you're in a storm right now, can I remind you just briefly, our Lord sees your struggles. Our Lord knows your struggles, and our Lord knows if you're still rowing or not. Can I tell you, don't stop rowing. Keep going forward, because the backside of this passage of Scripture, something really cool is fixing to happen. Something really big is fixing to happen, all because God is fixing, because they kept doing what they're supposed to do, and then God showed up on the scene. Folks, maybe it's just me. Sometimes I think we get discouraged, we get to a place, and we quit. We stop rowing right before God fixes to do something. Don't do that. Keep rowing. Maybe you're here, just one last thought. Maybe you're here and you're not sure if you're saved. Maybe you know you're not saved. Can I tell you, the Lord has a plan for you too. And it's a good plan. And it's a beautiful plan. But the plan starts with trusting in Him for salvation. I believe God uses these storms to grow a Christian, to get a Christian where he or she needs to be at. But also, I know a lot of times people have come to know Christ because of a storm, because of a struggle, because of a hardship. I don't know where you're at tonight, this morning. I don't know what time it is. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you know Christ, maybe just burdened down. Folks, can I tell you, there's a whole lot of that going around. There's a whole lot of struggles going around right now. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You've never been born again. Can I tell you, I know a man that can fix all that. It's the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, I believe I shared the message you want me to. Father, I know there's struggles, there's hardships, there's so many things. Father, I pray, Lord, let us take comfort in the fact you see what's going on. You see our struggles. You see that we're still trying to be faithful. We're still trying to serve you. And Father, I pray, Lord, just give us strength, give us hope, give us help. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's never been born again and they're in that storm, Father, you've sent that storm possibly to reveal to them that they need Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that today will be that day where their eyes are opened and they truly see for the first time and they see Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.